Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Chavav. We're holding the third line from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara says, Omer Abaya Minoah Min Allah. Says, Abaya, how do I know this halacha? Which halacha? So we have to go back to yesterday's Omid Chav Hey Omid Beis. And the Gemara had two Lishoinais. We start a drop beyond halfway down Chav Hey Omid Beis, where the Gemara said, Itmar. If a person, against his will, unfortunately got stuck with smelling the ketores from Avodah Zarah, a person is walking down the street, he passes by a church, and they're in the middle of going and sacrificing incense to their idols, to their Avodah Zarah, and the person, when he's going by, takes a whiff. What's the halacha? Abaya amar muteris v'rava amar sura. Machloikis, is it muter or the asur? However, that's the macro. What is the micro? The micro, what are the details? So you remember the Gemara had two lishonis. The first lashon says, keep plihi, where's the machloikis? The efshir v'loi kamachavit. The efshir means it was possible for him to walk down another street. He didn't have to pass this church. He could have walked down another block. But as he was passing the church, he didn't think about the incense. He rather was going over the daf in his mind. And after 5 minutes of going through the whole Shakla Vitaria, he picks his head up and says, hey, I've really gone 5 blocks already. What happened to that church? What happened to the incense? He wasn't mechavin at all. Says Abaya, nothing happened. Everything is fine. Rava says that's osir. That was the first lashon. Second lashon was the other way around. And that is...
What's the problem here that he had?
He's being over on the iser of smelling the Avodah Zarah and having hanoah from that Avodah Zarah.
There's no malchus though.
No malchus.
He wasn't miskaven.
He was not miskaven according to the first pshat. Efshar v'lo kamachav. I'm sorry, once again.
What was the pleasure of
the pleasure of the incense? You're smelling it, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
sure. I mean, that's why they give it to the idols, because the idols are all incensed, and this way, when you give them the incense, they feel much better. Okay. Anyway, so that's the first lashon. And then the second lashon was 5 lines from the bottom. Ki peligi the loy efshe v'kamachav. The other way around. Loy efshe, he couldn't go down any other block because all the other blocks were blocked with a huge snowfall. Unexpected, 12 to 18 inches, he couldn't move. It was only on that block that he was able to go down. Aha. So lo yafshe means he had no other choice, he had to go down that block. But whilst he's going by, he smells the incense, hey, you know, this is a good block to go down. It's a wonderful aroma, what the fragrance is, gewaldig. Says Abaya Mutter, because the Iker was, he had no other choice, he had to go down this block. Rova says that it's awesome.
Mutter to breathe, what's Mutter?
Mutter to go down this block, even though he knows he's going to have the pleasure, and he's allowed to be mechavin from this incense, from the fragrance as he's passing by.
And according to Rova, he can't, even though there's no other way, he should just...
He should go and lock up his nose, or he should stay home, or take a helicopter some other way, but it's awesome. Omer Abaya. So says Abaye, Minoham in Allah, how do I know my halach? Now from here to virtually the end of the sugya, the Gemara is going to focus on the second version, not on the first version. Which means, the second version said that the machloikis is loy efshir, there was no other way to go, become a chavan, and he had hano'o, and Abaye says, that's okay. Where do we find a makor? Makor means a source. Amr Rabbi, Minu Amin Allah, the sign you have a braisa. Amru Olav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Show you Yoishiv betziloi shel heichel v'doidish kolayim kulai. We're talking about on the days before Yontif. Those are the Yarchik holidays when Klal Yisrael gets together to hear Shiurim and Droshis Legabi the Hilchos Hachag. Remember in the good old days they didn't have printed Rambams or Shulchan Aruchs or Kitzur Shulchan Aruchs in Hebrew or in English, etc. So how did people know all the halachs? They would get together a couple of weeks before Yontif, She'alim V'dorshin, V'hilchas Achag, 30 days before, or at least 2 weeks before, Machloikis. Anyway, but the point is that they all came together to hear these shiur. And as Rashi points out, we're talking about the masses really came together to the extent that there was no besmedrish or shul throughout the whole Yerushalayim that could possibly hold all of these chushev atayra yidin that wanted to come and learn Torah. So they had to go and do it outdoors. Sounds familiar, right? You have to have minyanim outdoors, you have the shir outdoors. But however, the sun was beating down, and it was gefarlich. And people said, oh, it's so hot, what are we going to do? So Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I have an idea. We're going to go next to one of the tallest buildings in Yerushalayim, which was the Heichal, because the Heichal was 100 amos tall. That's the amitraxin that they had between the Kodesh Kodesh Kodeshim. Anyway, 100 Amis is roughly 200 feet tall. Since it's so tall, he says, you know what? We're not going to go Chas HaShem inside the Heichal, inside the Beis Megdish. But we're going to sit on the Har HaBayis, on the ground, and we're going to have Hanoah from the shade of the Heichal that stands so tall. And this way, this will block out the sun. It will be a Mechayah. So says the Gemara, this is considered to be a case of Loy Efsher. I have no other Eitzah, because everybody has to learn the halachas. There is no besmedish that can possibly hold all of these masses. We have to be outside. Outside, under the beating sun, Chulila Bechas, Hatzala would be busy Yomam Valayla. So, we're going to go in the shade, and therefore it's a case of Loi Efshir, the Komachavin, and it's Mutar. Let's quickly look at the Rashi. Rashi is on the third of the narrow lines. It's not bold font, it's low. It's
regular font.
Regular font. Shkoyach. A heichel goivoy me'am. The heichel is 100 amas tall. Vitziloy and its shade. Holech lemerachik ma'oid. It goes very far. You can imagine. 100 amas tall. Berachoyv into the streets. Shulafnei harbayis. In front of the harbayis. In other words, not on the harbayis itself. Down below, like where the koisel is, that type of thing. Umatar sherechoyv godel hoyis. It was such a large street. Umachzi b'nei odom. Harve. Hoyedoyrish sham ne'achama. Because of the sun. She'en lecho beis hamedrish machzikan. The beis Medish couldn't hold up, just so many people. You gotta go and teach the oilam the halacha, and they have to come to learn. Obviously, by standing there, they want to have hanoah from that shade. Oi, aren't they being moil behegdish hanoah from the beis hamikdash? Is this permissible? Says Abaya, have a raya, as long as it's loy. Efshir, become mechavin, it's mutar. Again, Omer Rabbi, you know I'm going to love the sign, Omer Rabbi Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, Shei Yoishu B'tzilei Shel Heichel B'derish Kol Yem Kuloi, V'hoch, in our case, the loy Efshir, I have no other option or alternative. Mechavin, everybody's having kavona to have anno, V'shari, it's mutar. I have an excellent raya, says Abai. For Rav Omar, no, that's not such a stark raya. Shani Heichel D'letoichoi Osui. What means D'letoichoi Osui? Says Rashi. You remember that yesterday we said that it's very important that to be over an Isur, you have to do it kederech hanoosoi. The only two exceptions to the rule that the Gemara identified yesterday was, that's right, Vasa B'cholov, and number two, and Kilayim. Yeah, exactly right. Kiloya Kerem. So those are the two exceptions. But otherwise, every Isur you have to be over kederech hanoosoi. Since the Heichel walls were built for the inside, not for the outside. To be over on having hanoah from the heichal, you got to be sitting inside the heichal. See, look at Rashi. So the toichei osui, the ein hanoah siloi neesra, the ein zeh derech hanoosui. This is not the normal way you have hanoah from a building. You have hanoah from a building inside, not outside. Of course, I do have hanoah by sitting in the shade, but that's not the derech hanoah. That's just a secondary accessory type of thing, but that's not the ikur hanoah, and therefore you're not over in the first place, says Rav Itzvotelach.
So have the class inside.
That's why Rav says it's Mutalach, and therefore it's no Raya to Abai. Amar Rav, Minu Aminu Rav, I also have a Raya. What's my Raya? Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Lulin Hoyubsuchim Baldias Beis Kochi Akadoshim. What happens if you needed workers to go and repair and maintain the Kochi Akadoshim? As you know, we didn't want people to go and look at the beautiful walls of the Kochi Akadoshim. So what did they do? They made what we would call today elevators. So they made Lulim. Lulim means that they had a skylight on top. Shoyubsuchim Baldias Beis Kochi Akadoshim there in the attic, upstairs over the Kochi Akadoshim. Shibahen, and in those, through those lulin, they were mishalshlin esa umnin. They would let down the workers betevois in boxes, like elevator boxes. Kadesh liyizunei ne b'meis kachin kadoshim. As they're coming up and going down, they should not have any hanoah from beis kachin kadoshim, from the mara, from the beautiful sight. Rather, wherever they have to do their appears, presumably over there there was a small hole in the wall or whatever to do their minimum seeing of the Beis Kodesh Kedoshim where they needed to go and work, but otherwise they couldn't look around because they were surrounded on all sides by these elevator walls. Okay, we have to have the repairmen come in. We can't leave the Kodesh Kedoshim without repair and maintenance. And had it not been for these elevator doors, elevator walls, presumably people would see and say, wow, this is magnificent. The majesty, the glory, the covet, the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. And we said, the Osir, and you have to make these elevators. You know, they must have cost a fair amount of money, and you had to have lots of people holding it up and pulling it down, you know, so we didn't have electricity by Yom Mahay. So, therefore, you see that even though it's loy efsher, v'kam mechaven, it's osur. Frank the word with Tizbra. And this is the chazal that Barry already mentioned yesterday. V'om Reb Shimon ben Pazi, om Reb Shimon ben Levi Mishum bar Kapara. Koil, umara, v'reach, ein ben Mishum ila. What's the problem? Even if they didn't have these elevators, but rather they would actually see the walls. Looking at the walls, you see the mara, the beauty, the glory. There's no me'ila, you haven't been over anything, you didn't do anything wrong. Yes. So, if that's the case, what did you have to make these elevators for? Elamala osu bebeis kodesh kedoshim. Even though, strictly speaking, there is no isur to go and you're not moil, you don't have to bring a carbon asham me'ilois. But nevertheless, because of the covenant of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want that ordinary workers should go and look at the walls of the Kodesh Kedoshim. They made a special milus. It's not the ikridin. It's like a hidur mitzvah, if you will. That being the case, says Abaye Rava, you have no raya. You wanted to go and bring a raya. Lo yefshe become a chavin is osur. It's not really osur. It's really it's mutter. That's why I hold. So why did they make these elevators? Mala osur. They wanted to make us a special chumra, a special hidur in honor of the great kedusha in the Kodesh Kedoshim. That is pshat number one, or version number one, of Rava's raya to his view, that Rava holds that efsher become a chavin is osur. Ikriyami, we have another version, and we start faket. Omer Rava, minoa, middle of the sani, omer Shimon ben Pazi, omer Shimon ben Levi, Shimon bar Kapara, koil umara vareach, ein behem mishum me'ila, which we just quoted a moment ago. Me'ila hu deleka. It says that there is no me'ila, ha isur ikka, but there is an isur. What's the difference between me'ila and isur? Me'ila means you have to bring a korban asham me'ilois. Anytime that you have hano'ah from hegdish, you have to go and bring a special korban called an asham me'ilois. Good. Says the Gemara, since these are kol mar v'reach, Rashi says, ein bohem mamish, you cannot really, they're not tangible. You cannot feel the cold, you cannot feel the mar and the reach, it's all intangibles. Since it's intangibles, if you did have a nor for me, wow, I hear the beautiful symphony going on at the Beis HaMikdash during the Shir Shal Yoim that they sing every day, they bring the kabbanis. That's tremendous, that's beautiful. That's the Shir, that's the koil. Mara that I look around the Beis HaMikdash, it's glorious, it's beautiful, the covet. Reach that I smell, the ktoiris. All of these things may ikra din. If you have hano'ah, you do not have to bring a korban me'ilah, because ein behem mamish. However, there still is an iser. You should still refrain from koil mar v'reach. Ah, so says now Rava, my lovely oisanu oimdin bifnim. Aren't we talking about all those people who are in the Azara? For instance, says Rashi, those people that are doing the Avoida, the Kehanim that are doing the Avoida, they're in charge of the Shchita, Mita Kabbalah, Mita Hilocha, Mita Zrika, they go to the basement Pachayim, they're going here, they're going there, they're busy doing the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, and they hear the Shir Shal Yoim every day, they smell the Ketoris twice a day, they see the beautiful Maris of the Beis HaMikdash, it's Loyafshe. You can't tell them, Chevra, close your eyes, close your ears, get out of here. They need me. I'm the one doing the service today. I'm the kohen that's doing the avodah. They come a chavet, and when they're doing it, they hear it and they listen to it. They say, Yeshua Shoim is givaldik, and the ketoris smells delicious. And nevertheless, we say ha isura ikka. If they are mechavein, it's asur. Azei zot rava.
Excuse me. Do we need this?
Do we need what?
That's outside.
The noise.
Making noise.
The noise is outside. Please stop.
It's the heater. Okay, got it. Sorry.
No, it's okay. We love you just as much.
Likewise.
You thought it's the oisin oim the mefnem. You'll see in a moment it's oisin oim the machutz. It's the people that are making. It's the noises from the outside. Anyway, so you get they probably snow plowing or whatever.
Yeah, snow blowers.
Yeah, exactly. So okay, everything is fine. So getting back to Agumah. So once again, Rava is bringing a raya l'shitas soy. That if you have a case, even though it's loy efsha, there is no other etza, no other option or alternative. Nevertheless, it's aser. How do I know? Because although kolmar v'reich there's no meila, but there is an isur. Says Yomar, my love loy sonim lefnim. Aren't we talking about the kahanim, for instance, that are standing inside the basement? Loy efsha. Rashi's loy efsha means that they have to be there to do the avoided, to do the shamush, the shimush in the avoided, and become mechaven. If they are mechaven, we're telling him it's Asur. You don't have to bring Hashem Elois, but it's Asur. As a raya to me, says Rava, that EF should become a chavin is Asur. Everyone light. We're not talking about those people that are standing inside, we're talking about people that are standing outside. What difference does that make? Says Rashi, the people that are standing outside is Efshir become a chavin. Who asked you to stand outside the base of Mikdash during the day? If you are standing outside, and your mechavin, oh, although there won't be me'ila, because ain behem mamish, but you do have an isur. But that's all because of the fact that it's efshir v'kom mechavin. However, those people that are standing inside, oin v'fnim, afilu isur aleka, says Rashi, not even an isur. Because, says Abaye, that's like me. That if you have a situation of efshir, even though your kom mechavin is mutter. So this isur that Rav is referring to is for the people outside that have another option. They can go home, they can learn the daf in the Bismedish, but those people that are in the Bismedish, they have no choice. So therefore,
what does it mean standing outside? They're in the Ezra Sisrael. I mean, if people are coming to the Beis Hamikdash to see the Avoda, to learn, to understand it.
Those people that have to be there during those periods of time, then it's an EFship. But those people that don't have to be there at the time of the Ketoritis, they brought twice a day, early in the morning, once in the afternoon. So don't stand around at that time to come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not at 5 o'clock when they bring
the curtain. They closed off. They said, "Please don't come in now." The
I don't know if they had signs or not, but presumably when they learned the halachas, they learned that it's also to have a noah from the koil mar of a reyach, even though you don't have to bring a carb meila, and therefore stay away, Rabbi Yisrael.
If all Yerushalayim was pervaded with the beautiful smell of
that we talk about shortly.
Okay,
good. So Zokti Mar. So anyway, bottom line, that was the raya of Rava. Both Abaye brought a raya, and Rava was doche the raya. Rava brought two rayas, and Abaye was doche his rayas. So let's go over again. Gufa, Reb Shimon ben Pasi, Reb Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapar. Koil, Umara, Vareach, Ein Behem, Mishum Me'ila. Freiti Umara, Vareach, Ein Behem, Mishum Me'ila. Votanya, I'll bring you a raya that Reach is different than Koil Umara. What's the raya? Votanya, Mafatim, Isak, Toides, Lihislamid, Bo. Oyla Moisra Litzibur Potter. Lariach Ba is Chayv. Vamariach Ba is Potter Elishamar. What is this all about? There is a passing in the Torah that a person is not allowed to make his own Pitam Haktoris. Pitam Haktoris would mean, those of you that say every single day in the Karbonis, you know that you take Yud Aleph Samamonim, 11 different ingredients of different types of incense, you mix them all together, and you produce from that a beautiful, beautiful ktoris. That's the pitam ktoris. It says in the Torah that you're allowed to make that, for the Mishkan of Beis Hamikdash. But ish ashiyase chamoya lahariach ba. If a person decides, oh, it's so great, it smelled so good, I'm going to make my own supply lahariach ba to go and smell it every single day, and perhaps even to go and sell it, and I can make a fortune. People, oh, pitam ktoris, smell the fragrance, gevaldik. If you do that, Chas V'Shalom, there's an Issachar. Isha Sheyase Chamoya Lehariach Ba. The purpose of your making the Pitam Haktoris is to use for the fragrance. V'Nichras Chas V'Shalom Din of course. So now the Braisa tells us, what happens to Mafat Victorious Lehislamid Ba? The reason why he's doing it is not Chas V'Shalom because of he wants to go and be Meriach, but rather because he wants to learn the Halachas. He wants to know exactly the composition. After all, if people don't know what to do, they need an expert, they'll call upon him. Yanko, we heard you're expert, come on in, show us exactly what the different samamonim, the different ingredients. So if he's doing l'islamid ba, or he's making his own private concoction with the intent of giving it as a present to the tzibur. He wants to go in one day to the Beis Medrash, calls in the Kohen Gadol or whoever is in charge, and he says, I got great news for you. I put together the most fragrant Beit HaMikdash, and I want to go and donate it for the Beis Medrash. If you do that, that's part of it. That's okay. Why is that okay? Because the Torah says, Isha Shiyas Chamoy L'Riach Bo for his own private needs. And that's what the Braisa continues on. If you, however, produce that Ketoris, L'Riach Bo, then you're Chayiv Kores, like it says in the Torah. V'Hamiriach Bo is not referring to the private Pictum Ketoris. Now we change channels, and now we're talking about the real Ketoris Shal Tzibur. If you have enough of the Ketoris Shal Tzibur, Potter from Kores, Ele Shemol, but you do have Me'ilah over here. 1 second. I thought you just said a moment ago that when it comes to koil, mara v'reach, ain't there misha me'ila. And here it says at reach, yesh ba misha me'ila. Don't we have a stira? And we discussed this already yesterday briefly. Elam Rav Papa. Koil umara ain't there misha me'ila levisha ain't there mamish. Koil umara has no mamoshus. It's totally intangible. Of a v'reach does have mamoshus after all. And it's not so difficult to understand because, as we know, when every single Matzah Shabbos, or any time we have beautiful, fragrant flowers or psalm, we make a bracha because we have anor from that psalm, right? We smell it. Smells good. Some people in Yom Kippur, they smell it 12 times. Lemons and sroigim and all different types of stuff. So that's considered yesh b'mamish. But there is no such thing that we ever make a bracha on a koil or a mara. And therefore, those are considered to be ein ben mamish. This is considered
to be kiyah shofar.
That's it's a mitzvah, not because I'm hearing it. I'm having a knock. Not a birchas hananin.
It's a birchas mitzvah.
It's a birchas mitzvah.
It's a gishmak kol shofar.
Right.
But even other things too. If you see a chacham. You see a talmid chacham, or you see the king.
Right.
You make a bracha. You say it's also a bracha. But it's a
anyway, so the Maisa, so the Koil Mar, Rashi earlier on when he first brought this Koil Mar Vareach, he says, Ein Behem Mamish, which was the Parshat Pshat. If you look at the Rashi, middle of the Amud, after Koil and Vareach, there's Rashi, Ein Behem Mishamila, Diyoy Raisa, Koil the Ein Behem Mamish. There's no Mamoshes in Koil Mar Vareach. However, now if you go skip down, 20 lines or so, you have over here, Koil Umara, it's about 10 lines before the white lines. Ein ben mamish, u pata li oilam. But ech yesh boi mamish, b'sam amonim. There is mamoshes there. Lefiha chayiv. Didn't we say before, ein ben, that there ain't ben me'ila. But the kamar b'shua, pata li acha shetale timrosim b'mivish kamar. Mishim denasin mitzvosoy. So getting back to our Gemara now. So Gemara is telling us, reyach, does have mamoshes. And therefore there would be a din of me'ila. So if you go and smell the ketores with the intent of smelling and all the rest, you are moil. I we said reyach in b'mamish. We're talking about after the reyach, there is no incense left. It's all been burned. However, you smell the smoke from that original reyach, from the original psalm that were there. Oh, that's really different. Why is that different? It's not because your mamoshes, nish mamoshes, ein ba mishem me'ila hoy v'nasas mitzvosai. Because we have a rule, kol dovah shenasas mitzvosai, ein ba mishem me'ila. Once you're already completed the mitzvah, then you're not being moiled because the mitzvah is already done. So the mitzvah by Ketores is to go and light the Ketores and have the smoke come up. Baruch Hashem, that happened. The smoke is still coming up. You already yoytz to the mitzvah. So from this point, you are allowed, in fact, to go and smell it. And that's why, when we said before, Ein Be'mishim Ne'ila, not Ein Be'mishim Mamish. There is Mamoshes, but there is no Me'ila because it's already Nasis mitzvah.
Yeah,
with
the Tom that was part of the Mishpeach was only Yashid Ravanin.
Right, because we went to Yashid Nachal Kidron, right.
Yeah, you could use it for fertilizer.
Exactly. Right. Well, yeah,
Nachal Kidron, right.
Exactly right.
What's the lesson to Murasso, Jitala to Murasso?
It really should be Timrasso. Timrasso means the smoke that comes up.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, so getting back to Agma, this now with this we better understand the whole sugya of yesterday. Because we talked about that you go by the church and you go and smell the incense. And we just said, Ein ben mamish, the reich is gonish. So what's the issa, what's the problem? The answer is, yesh ben mamish, there is mamoshes to it. In our case, the ketores in the base of English, if it's not a mitzvah, sorry, Ein ben mishem me'ila. But otherwise, smelling as ben mamish.
Yeah, in the church, after they burn it, it's
after the
mitzvah. After their Avera, right. So it should be, and the parallels is intact. They did their Avera with it.
Perfect. Anyways, getting back to my
follow-up, though, is, you know, we have the whole question of Zeya and Rea.
Yeah.
That's one of the exceptions, like Karam at in Derech Hana. It doesn't have to be Derech Hana to be over.
Well, the question is like whether you can cook in something, and maybe that's Zeya, maybe that has...
What are you referring to?
Did say you cook the buzzer and
buzzer and chalav together?
Yeah.
In one pot?
So, not one pot, in the same
two oven. Separate pots.
So same oven.
And there's zeya that's in
right, mixing. So there's no question about that. Maybe zeya, not reah.
No, that's zicha not because of reah. Okay. It's zicha because of zeya, that you're afraid that some of the moisture will go from
there. Is there a question of, in buzzer b'chalav questions, or just in kosher questions, whether reah...
Not to my knowledge. You'd have to speak to a kashrus expert, but to my knowledge it's not a problem. But the problem is if you smell bacon, I don't think you're over on smelling it. Even if you say, yeah, your bacon smells good. I would have a tie before it.
Nauseating.
Okay, that's such an erech ha'idi.
Nauseating.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to Agmar. So it's all special din. Hoil v'nasis mitzvosai. Zot yimor lememra. So based on what you just told me now, t'chal heicha v'nasis mitzvosai ein bay mishum me'ila. As long as mitzvah is finished, then there's no me'ila any longer. Vay trumas adashen. V'nasis mitzvosai v'yesh bay mishum me'ila. Ay v'trumas adashen. What's trumas adashen? Every single morning in the Beis Hamikdash, the first avodah that they did before they did anything else. It was a special pious, a special lottery to decide who's going to get it. And people came up very, very early to get the benefit of the Trumas Hadeshah. Trumas Hadeshah means you go up to the top of the Mizbeach and you find where the ash typically accumulates overnight because they burned every single night. The Hector Chalav Ve'ivarim. So usually by the time you got there in the morning, there's a fair amount of ash. You took a symbolic amount of ash, not a huge amount of ash, a symbolic amount of ash. You took it down the Kevesh, down the ramp, and right next to the ramp on the right hand side there was a small little place called the Beis HaDeshen, a mini Beis HaDeshen, where you placed that deshen on the floor, and then you come back a little bit later and miraculously it was always absorbed every single day into the ground.
The head of the other side,
correct, as well as the wicks from the menorah, not the Hanukkah menorah, but the menorah that was in the Hekel. That's correct. Good. Anyway, so we're getting back to our Gemara. What happens if, in fact, there happens to be a lot of ash which is accumulated? That's not called Truma Sedeshin, that's called Haroma Sedeshin, and they would remove that ash and they would cart it out, Chutz L'machana, outside Yerushalayim, and that's where they used to also go and burn the
Serum and Parim and Asrafim.
Exactly. A Parim and a Serum and Asrafim, especially, for instance, for Yom Kippur. Good.
If you learn, if you took the animal bifnim, that you burnt in the
that Rabbi Shai reminds us that a couple of days ago we learned that if a person were to go and bring the dam chatas bifnim, chol chatas shiyuvim midom el oil moyed lechaper bekoidish, what's the din? It becomes possible for Eishti Sarf. Exactly. And not only that, but also the other Psule Kodesh Kodeshim, including Eimerin of Kodeshim Kalim, because it's Bakoidish for Eishti Sarf that the Sreif has to have to be Bakoidish inside the Azara, and we were clarifying exactly where in the Azara was that Beis Hadeshen. That was especially for the Psule. Anyway, but getting back to Agmar. So every morning they had Trumas Hadeshen, and they took it down, put it on the floor. Says the Gemara, if a person were to go and take some of the ash and he would use it for whatever purpose, what can you use it for purposes? Putting on a maka, right? It was considered to be something similar to an iodine that it will burn out perhaps part of the wound and prevent there from germs and bacteria and this and that. Then you're over din of me'ila. It says in the passage, v'samoy eitzel ha-mizbeach. You take the deshen and you put it down. Since it's a somay eitzel mizbeach, you learn from that shelo yafazer. Don't scatter it and spread it out, but put it over there. The somay shelo yehana. You now let have a no. You just got to put it down, leave it there, and that's it. Why? The Trumas Sedeshim were finished. The kohen went up, he took it, he put it down on the ground. We're done. Sayonara. What's the problem? Why shelo yehana? Says the Gemara. Like all rules, this is the exception to the rule. And therefore, so why don't we learn from Trumas Hadeshen that Dover Shenasis Mitzvosoi Yeshva Misha Me'ila? Says the reason is Misha Me'ila Trumas Hadeshen Bikdikunish Nixum Bonke Echad. Chos Nixum Bonke Echad Ein Malamdim. Because this is not the only time in the Torah. We have two times in the Torah. One by Trumas Hadeshen, one by the Bikdikuna that the Kohen Gadol used to wear on Yom Kodosh. As we'll see in a moment, there too the halacha is that although it was Nasis Mitzvosoi you're not allowed to go and use his big de kahuna after he finished using them on Yom Kippur. So you have two ksuvim that come together to say that these are the two lone exceptions, and everywhere else, tov shenas mitzvah, so there is no din anymore of me'ilah. Says the Gemara, what's the case of the big de kahuna? Truma sedesh adamar. We just said truma sedesh, we explained that. Big de kahuna adachsiv. V'nicham sham. This is referring to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. If you want to see Ois Beis, Ois Tu, Uvo Ahar El Hoyle Moyen, Ufashad Es Big Di Habad Asher Lovash Bavoy El HaKoydesh. He takes out those special Big Di Habad that he was wearing until now, he takes them off, V'nichem Sham, and he leaves them there. Where does he leave them there? There he's going to them, he puts it away, V'lam, it says, Imor Yishet Un Gneza, you have to put it like in Sheamus, you put it away, nobody uses it subsequently. That's nobody.
For the Gneza, for the wicks of the menorah, that was the Balad.
That was only
the
Blue Yos, exactly, it's from there. The Blue Yos of the Hemaini of the Megartlech or other Begodim of the Kahanim, they used to go make the wicks. But those were worn out. These are not worn out. In fact, according to Rabbanan,
he used once
in history, and every year you have to produce brand new Begodim for the Kohen Gadol.
That's why the Kohen Gadol would be the richest of all the Kohanim. Right? Didn't they say that he had to be richer than all his brothers? Yes, and if he doesn't money, they... Right, Ashir, right, she had to be...
Right. This wasn't probably from his funds anyway. I'm assuming this is from public funds, the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash.
Fine.
Yes, he did, she did. But the fact that the Gemara brings that sounds like that was a unique situation and not the typical. But anyway, getting back to the Gemara, the Benicham Sham, the Kohen Gadol leaves them there, Malamish Tunik, means that nobody's supposed to use them. So even though they were used already, Tov Shenas Mitzvah, so right, there is a din of Me'alba. Honey, Chalabon, the Amma, Malamish Tunik, Gnisa, the Taka, they're not used by anyone. El Reb Doisa, the Palikalai, Reb Doisa, who disagrees. The Omar, Avar Uyen, Hem, the Kohen Hedjin, you could use these for the Kohen Hedjin, meaning that according to Reb Doisa, the four begodim that were used by the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur were identical to the four begodim that are used by Kohen Hedjin throughout the year, and so therefore v'nichem sham, another Kohen Gadol would not use it for next Yom Kippur. However, Kohanim Hedjoitim could use it throughout the year. Our Gemara doesn't go into it. Where this Gemara is brought elsewhere, the Gemara asks, don't we have a klal of Malam B'Kodesh Ve'im Moiridin? But we don't get into that sugya today. But what we do is, we do have a situation, according to Reb Doisa, we only have now one pasuk, because Reb Doisa says, Avaru'i in the Hem Kohen Hedjit. I, Vinichem Shom, Shleishtamish Behem, Beyoy Makipur Macher, that this Kohen Gadol or another Kohen Gadol should not use them then next Yom Kippur. So then, according to him, this is a Dovish Nasim Mitzvosoi, and Taka Ein Mayalin Boy, like all Dovish Nasim Mitzvosoi. In other words, this is not an exception to the rule, this is part of the general rule, so my Yikalamim. By the way, just as a footnote, one of the reasons why Reb Doisa disagrees with the Rabbanan is, or what the reason why the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Doisa is because there's a machloikus what the avnate of the Kohen Hedjit was. We know for sure that the avnate of the Kohen Gadol was made out of bat. So the Michnasei bad and the avnate bad yachkor mitznefes bad yitznoit be the Kohenish heim brachas b'mayim mitzpsori leishem. Everything had to be bad. Question is, what was the Kohen Hedjit's avnate throughout the year? Avnate means the belt that they wore, one of the big dekuna. So that's a machlokes. Some say it was taka totally bad, just like the Kohen Gadol's, and that's Reb Doisa. That's why Kohen Hedjit could use it. The Rabbanan says a Kohen Hedjit couldn't use it because his was made out of shatnez. It was made out of pishton together with tzemach. Anyway, so doesn't say the face of the
time. So there's a machlokes whether what these pedetim are made out of.
The avnate worn by the Kohen Hedjit throughout the year was that pure linen, just like the Kohen Gadol's onion kipper.
Or was it
shatnez? So if it was shatnez, of course it was mutter, because that's what the Torah says, just like by tzitzis, you're allowed to wear shatnez. However, it's not the same one as the Kohen Gadol's. That's why, according to Rabbanan, they couldn't use it anyway. Yeah. It's also another machlokes of the Gavad Migbas and Mitznefes, whether they are one and the same or not. There's a toisis about that. If you hold that they're one and the same, why is it called Migbas Mitznefes? Only the way they shaped it, to put it higher, lower,
it sits also the Kohen Gadol.
But not of the four begotten. We're talking about the four begotten.
Oh, I see.
Not the Kohen Mishpat, we're not talking about the Kohen. Yeah. We're talking about these four begotten alone, not the Nil, just these four begotten.
Abdin is
a Gartel, right.
Mm-hmm. Is Kohen Gadol where the tzitz when he wore the big day love on?
No, he did not.
Okay.
Don't be upset, that's the way it is. Okay. Anyway, so those are only those four. And says the Gemara, my Iklameimer, according to Reb Doisei, only have now one example of something which is Nasis Mitzvosei and Mu'alimba, which is a Tumas Hadesh. So learn from there the Chol HaTorah Kulam. Every Mara Mishnah now, the Tumas Hadesh, may I give a room for Shneks Vavom Ki'echad. Chashim Shem Ve'echad, Ein Malamdin. Egla roof is slightly different in character, because if a person has enough from the Egla roof, what means having enough from Egla roof? Egla roof is, you know, you have to decapitate it and you throw it down into the Nachal Eitzah. What happens after that? A person goes there and he wants to take a couple of the bones and make some musical instruments, or he wants to use some of the basar and feed it to his klovim, etc. That's Isra no. I already did the Egla roof, I already decapitated, we're done, we're finished. But the Torah says, Ultz is such a lashon of idicham sham. What exactly is the lashon? And Rashi probably brings it here. Ksiv sham, the mashe sham take for us. Ultz says the sham. For all for sham is egla banach. Al sham, you learn also idicham sham. It's got to stay there forever, and therefore it's also banach. I the davish nasim mitzvasai. So you see, you have now two cases to mislesh agrufa. I say it's slightly different character in the sense, if you were to have hanoa, you're not even the ilah.
Like this is not kodesh.
This is not kodeshim. In other words, Yomar means to say, Davish Nas Mitzvasai, you're finished. It loses any kedushin that it had it until now, because it's done. You finished the mitzvah. But you see, what this Egla Rufin continues to have an Isser hanoa. Therefore, I have now two cases. Shneksum Bik Echad. One is Trumas Hadesh, one Egla Rufa. Ein Malamdin. Hanichal Mandiyam, Ein Malamdin. Mandiyam Malamdin, Ein Malamdin. But there's another Mandiyam that holds Malamdin, even from two, only if you had three. But here you only have two. So if you want to trim me, Utik Sivi, Ksivis Samoy, Uksiv Ho Arufa. What the Gemara is telling us is, beyond the normal rules of Shnei Ksumim Bon Ki Echad, Ein Malamdin, we have over here special two miutim. What are the two miutim? Legavi, the case of the Trumas Hadesh, it says the samoy eitzlam is beach. It could have simply said the sum eitzlam is beach. The samoy is a mean. Only here is there a din of you're not allowed to be moil behegdish. Make sure you leave it here on the floor. Don't use it as an ointment or anything else. That's one. And here it says egla hu arufa banochal. Could have said egla arufa. So the extra hey comes to say here that there's a special din. Don't have a no post mitzvah. So only on these two cases do you have that. However, Kol HaTorah Kula, after you Dovish Nas Mitzvah, so in the Alamba, normally Kol HaTorah Kula Dovish Nas Mitzvah, so in the Alamba, once it's finished, you're allowed to be moil. So you're allowed to smell the traitors once it's done, and there is no din of il. Only these two cases are the two exceptions to the rule, the Trumas Hadesh and the Big Dekuna, that even though it's Nas Mitzvah, so Ein may alibi you now have a no either from that dashen. Don't use it as an ointment. Don't put on the big dekuna according to Rabbanan, and don't use the egla roof for basar or oir or atzamais according to that other man. Fine. Toshima. We're going to go and ask further kashas from all of this, and first we're returning to our Gemara Nochamul, the efsher and loy efsher, and the mechaven and loy mekam mechaven. Remember, according to the second lashon, the machloikis is loy efsher. I have no other option, alternative to kam mechaven, and I'm having hanah. So says the Gemara Toshima. It's machloikis over here, Rashi and Tosis, whether we're talking about egla rufa or whether we're talking about para aduma. But Rashi points out on the Amud Beis that it really doesn't make a difference because I have gzeira shava, one from the other, oil. In the case of the egla rufa, it says eglas bakar ashalei ubad ba ashalei moshcha bi oil, and then by the paraduma it says the beginning so it's because the Torah is talking Neymar tabani Israel yichelecha paraduma tmima ashalei ola aleha oil. So here it says ashalei moshcha bi oil. There it says ashalei ola aleha oil. But basically, most halachas are the same paraduma and the case of egla ruf. Good. It's Toshaba. Hechnisa leravka v'dosha ksheira. What is this all about? You have a young egla arufa, or you have a young calf that you want to use for your para aduma, and it's so young that it needs to nurse from its mommy. And what you did was hichnisa l'ravka. Ravka means the oil that you put on these animals, not really an oil, it's something that joins them to make them a team of animals.
We hear that by the Pasuk Baros.
Right.
By the
48, exactly, 100% right. So what happens over there? So we have a team of animals that come together, and the team of animals, the reason why I've included the Egla Arufa as part of the team, I put it next to its mami so that it would have close proximity to the Makoim where it would normally be Yonek, where it would nurse from its mami. So when nobody else is looking, so this little young Egla Arufa goes and starts sucking from the udders of its mami. Okay, it's very nice, very charming. Guess what? This Ravka, the others in the Ravka, are Dasha. They're going into the fields and they're doing, or the granaries, and they're doing a certain amount of threshing. And this little one, not knowing any better, also does some threshing with it. So that wasn't his kavana, but that's the story, because the Egla Arufa has to eat and the mami is working. That doesn't hassle it from using it as an Egla Arufa. The Torah says, make sure Hashaloi Ubad Ba, there was no avoida, that's okay. However, if the reason why he included it in the Ravka, he knows that this is the tachlis of the Ravka, and he says, it's a good idea, I get some free labor from this Egla Arufa, and he connects it to the Ravka, so now he had kavona, then it's possible. So the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer is Reisha, he was not mechavin, he chnis the Ravka, and it was Dasham. That was, no, Behimala, Chbetach, please do not do any threshing today. I don't want to disqualify you from Hilchis Egla Arufa. But a behemoth is a behemoth, didn't listen. It's kosher. And the Sefer, that was his kavana. He said, yeah, you're a tina, sure, yeah, sure, sure. Participate, yeah, don't be left out in the cold. It's supposed. Says another one. Here he had no other choice, meaning, since the mami was locked up in this team, and we have to go and give sustenance to the baby, so you have to go and include the baby in the team, otherwise the baby would die. So you have no other choice. And he is mechavin in the sefer, and it's just a tinnik v'tinnish, and it's parcel, uktani psula. So what do I see from this? It's loy efshir, v'kom mechavin, and it's parcel, is v'choy araya to rava akasha on abaya. Shani also especially ubad ba mikol mokim says the bottom Rashi. Avagav de ba'alma loy mitzer, the last Rashi. Even though normally Abaye says all of the surim it would not be osir. Why would not be osir? Because it's loy efshir. Even though it's come chavin, it's loy efshir. Here the special gzeirus kashrusli ubad ba. Avagav de ba'alma loy mitzer hach osir. Here is a special chumra that you don't find b'kol ha'toyra kula. Special the negla roof. Why did you say the ratio the same thing? The two was EF sure, and it was Gosha. Why do you think Shaya? Actually, Uber by it did avoid it. That's Mali Damya Allah. It's similar to the following halacha, another Mishnah Mesechta Spara, and here's Takatumara Parah. What happened? Shochan Alea Oif Kshera, Alalea Zachar is Psula. What happens if you have a paraduma? The paraduma Torah says, "Ashlei ola aleha oil." It's not allowed to schlep anything. No peklach, no packages on its back. What happens if there was an oif? An oif is a bird, and the oif didn't know hilchas para aduma, and the oif decided to go and
land.
Sit, land, exactly, made a crash landing on the back of this.
So this
oif did a crash landing on the back of the paraduma, and now the paraduma is carrying it. It's still kosher. Aleil zachar, however, if a zachar went on top of the paraduma, a male went on top of the paraduma, psula becomes possible. My time, what's the difference between the first and the second case? My time, omra papa iksiva would say in the pasuk ovad, the korinan ovad. This is the pasuk again that we had by Egla Rufa. It says in the pasuk, "Asher le ubad ba, the le moshcha ba oil." So you have on the left hand side, Shalom. So you see at the end of the pasuk, "Asher le ubad ba." Now the word ubad is spelled in a very interesting way. The word ubad is pronounced ubad as if it has a vav, right? Ayin vav. No, we have the three dots on below, and that's the kubutz as opposed to the shuruk. So says you are iksiv ovad, vikrin ovad. it's written Ovad, but we read it Ubad. So if we would say Ovad v'karin Ovad, Adi Ovad bo iu, then it would have to be that Metagantza Kavana, he goes and takes the Paraduma, go and work, go and do. Iksev Ubad v'karin Ubad, afilim amela. If we would say Ubad, which is a Lashon Nifal or Hafal, whatever, then it would mean that even if I didn't have Kavana, did it on its own automatically, it would also be Yosef, and even the Oif would be Yosef. Abahashtachsev Ovad v'karin and Ubad, Ubad dumi, the Ovad ma Ovad nichale af Ubad nichale. We have the same drasha by the Hechsher, where it says over there, Asher
Zara Zerua.
Kiyutan mayim al zera, kiyutan. It has to be yutan dumi di yitain. The just like yitain the nichale, yutan is also nichale. So here too, nothing happened. Here too is Ubad dumi, the Ovad has got to be nichale. So if you ask the owner of the Paraduma, do you care to have the Ovad? Ah, Ovad, who cares? Come on, just blow it away, shoo it away. So therefore he doesn't care for it, and that's why it's kosher. However, the Zohar, he starts thinking to himself, you know what, I can make a whole industry over here. If I could find another Zohar, which is also red, and go made it together with Paraduma, we can make millions, we can produce some mass-produced Paradumas.
On a bird? So,
No. In the case of Zohar, we're talking about the Zohar went on its own and made it with the Paraduma?
Yeah, for sure. If I did, then we certainly
know. Oh, well, okay.
So it went on its own, and it's off part.
But it's not nichal. But it's not nichal.
That's what Limar is saying.
It's not because it destroys the value of the paraduma. It's a $1 million para. Now it's selling it with $100.
In that respect, you're right. However, in putting aside the halachic aspects, it's desirable to have zecharim and the kavis mate among the animal kingdom
to produce offspring.
Exactly. So in that respect, it is nichal. In that respect, it makes it possible. And therefore, the Gemara says the same thing applies to the case of the Amud Aleph. Nichnis the Rav Kedosh is Ksheira. Why is it kosher? Because I didn't want it to go and do Avodah.
It did it on its own, spontaneously.
On its own, exactly. But if I was Beshvilch, Tinik, Vetilish, I had the Kavanah, right. I wanted it, then it becomes us. Toshima, next case. We have a Veda. A person goes and finds a lost object. Let's assume that he found, for instance, a tapestry or a nice article of clothing, and all the scientists and all the king's men go and tell him, you have to make sure that you spread it out from time to time, because if you leave it folded together in the box somewhere, then eventually it's going to get moldy and mildew and this and that and the other thing, and therefore you got to spread it out from time to time.
It'll rot.
Yeah, otherwise it'll rot, it'll mold, and the moths will get to it, etc., etc. So it says, Aveda lo yishtechena, it's not my fault. Somebody found something, and I announced it 3 times and trying to find the person who lost the Aveda. Lo yishtechena le'agabi mitav le'agabi mogad le'tzorchoi. It happens to be a very, very pretty article. It's a nice bedspread, it's a nice tapestry, it's a nice ichweis tablecloth, whatever. So you should not spread it out on gabi meat on top of the bed, with a gabi mogan on top of a hook, litzorchoi, for the benefit of the balabos. In other words, the moitzei who aveda, he would like to be able to go and show off to all of his neighbors and all his friends when they come in. Look, oh, beautiful Italian tapestry. Where did you get that from? I can't tell you. It's a long story. Oh, it's so gorgeous. Really, it really looks nice. So that would be Litzorchoi. Everybody thinks it's a grace of Knacker. He goes and invests in such expensive tapestries so or what have you. Avashotko Litzorchoi. But if it's doing it for the purpose of the Aveda, that's okay. I'll come to meet him. I have to clear it out. Now, what happens if it's a double situation? It's Damli Orchen. He's coming, the guests are coming for Shabbos. And he figures, you know, I haven't aired it out now for 30 days. The scientists tell me every 30 days I have to air it out. Even though he's doing it for both purposes, I'm doing it because it's the 30 day period, I have to go and spread it out. It.
And my guests are coming.
Exactly, so you know.
Two for one.
Exactly. So it says in Gemara, isn't that a case of EFSHA? I got to spread it out. I mean, it's already 30 days. If I leave it another couple of days, who knows what's going to happen? It's going to go bad, it's going to moldy and mildew and this and that, the other thing. So it's EFSHA. But I'm kamechavin. I'm having a no, I want to show it to everybody. No, don't do it. Is the chayraya to Rabba that if you have a case of EFSHA, the kamechavin, it's asur raya to Rabba kasha ana vayo. Zezimar shani also. No, that's no right from there. It's the kalila. The kalila means he's burning up this Aveda, imishum eina bisha, imishum gandhi. When you leave things out like that and people see this beautiful tapestry, Ooh, psh, Yankel, he must have, you know, he must have won the lottery. He must have sold some stocks at the beginning of the market going up and going down. He must have done well. Oh, therefore, Chas Hashem, that causes an ayin hara. Or Chas Hashem, there could be ganavim. They see right. such beautiful tapestry. They're going to go tell the president, oh, you know, and in no time, somebody's going to go and steal it.
To go to Lola
Sinisha of Meir. That too. And so therefore says, well, the reason why you can't go straight, normally we would have held maybe like a bayit. That if it's EF Shibakam Machavan is mutter. But over here, it's as if, as you're saying, Lefne Iver, you're causing imminent potential destruction or damage to this tapestry by leaving it out. And so therefore that's why it's prohibited separates.
Is there anything on Enabisha? I mean it's a mysterious term.
Right. Ayin hara.
Right. We have here on the Gemara. Is there any explanation of how the mechanism, how that works? He didn't buy it. He didn't own it. He found it.
For sure.
And actually displaying it actually
promotes. Why is he displaying it?
He promotes, but it also promotes publicity that this item has been found.
He did not put up a big sign and say, "Rabbi Isai, this tapestry was found. Whoever
he's
lost
pretending it belongs to him."
Exactly.
Okay.
Not only that, if he leaves it out to go and find the person who lost it, then that person is not going to be able to go and tell Simonim, because everybody's going to see it. Everybody will see it. I know the Simon, sure. There's a rip on the right-hand side. How do you know? I just saw it 10 minutes ago. Toshima!
It's also possible.
Yes.
He leaves it out, it's possible to be damaged.
It'll be damaged.
Damage someone.
Exactly. Another possibility. Exactly right. It's Toshima. So we have our final right. What's the final case? You have people that are selling clothing, and the clothing might have in them shatness. So what do you do? So the moichik sus, the people who are the sellers, these are peddlers that are going from town to town selling these clothing. Moichik kedarkan, they can go and wear it normally. When they're wearing it, they're not wearing it to go and get warmth or to go and get whatever. The reason why they're doing it is because they have to go and schlep around all this clothing, instead of schlepping it in suitcases and all the rest. They wear a jacket or two to be able to go, and they don't have to schlep it, they can wear it. But don't be mecham necham if it's a very hot day, or you don't want it to be too warm, too light, too this, whatever. If it's raining, he has another thing to go and cover himself. No. Don't have any kavon. So if it's an EF situation, I have to go and tell this from Parnassah, from my family, and all the rest. And I'm wearing it. V'hatznuim, the tznuim are the people, grace erlech, he's not a lashon tznius. If you look at Rashi, about 5 lines lower, prushim, shemisrachim min akiyur min adoyim olay. They stay away from any potential perception of isur. I don't want people to go and say, Yankel the salesman wears shatnas all day. It's true, but he does it b'derech heter. I don't want people to say that. I want people to think that. I want to stay away from any possible allegation, perception of mispropriety, impropriety. So I stay away. What they do is they go and get themselves a fancy stick, and they hold it on that stick on their backs, like they took the
mannequins.
No, as they came out of Mitzrayim, went and schlepped out the dough on their backs, holding on such a stick, and it didn't have a chance to rise, and it made matzah and all the rest.
Isn't there a separate problem of selling? You're selling shatnas, Jews might buy, especially in Erlech Yid, and you're selling shatnas or potential shatnas.
Apparently, everybody knew that there's a possibility of shatnas.
It said guaranteed. There might be shatnas, a little sticker on it, potential shatnas inside. Jews don't buy this.
Either don't buy it, or they knew that they have to go and examine
and remove it.
To take it to the shatnas laboratory to go and test it and
remove it.
In Buru Park or in Vilamsburg or wherever they have it. Okay, anyway, so getting back to Agmar, for Alchad the Efshalom of Kitzun, it's possible to do like, you don't have to wear it. So it's an Efshah situation. It's E-Efshah in the sense, I have to schlep these around because I want to sell them. But it's Efshah to go and do with Derech Heter, to go and do it on the Achareyam, on these Maklim. As long as you're not Mechavin Ishari, says Yimura, to Yuftas. Now this is a case of Efshah, Paloi Kamachavin. This is the first and only case that we have today, which is not the second version, but the first version. Because, as you recall, the second version was, it was E-Efshir v'komachavin. That's why we had all the cases that we spoke about. Right. The person is smelling the reyach, he's sitting in the shade of the heichel. All those cases, lo-Efshir v'komachavin. This is a case, however, of an Efshir v'loika mechaben. He has another eitz. He can go and schlep it on a stick instead of wearing it, but he's not mechaben to have hanor. So that's like the first case that we had yesterday, the first version. That was the machlokes between Abaya v'Rava. And what did we say in that first case? Ki pligi di efshir v'loika mechaben, and Rava says that it's osur. Yet in today's Gemara, we're saying that it's mutter. Here you have a chiloy kahacha efshir v'mevet kitzol. The chiloy mechaben it's shari. That's like Abaya according to the first lashon. If tiyuf lemandet masdei lishna kamed de Rava tiyuf tatak according to the first lashon that Rava holds in that case that it's osur, we'd be ungefreit from this mishnah about the moichik sus that we have a case of efshir v'loy kamechaven and it's mutter. Okay, so now we finish. We don't have to put in the two dots because the publisher already did it for us. And we are now quoting from the Mishnah. We go back to Mesechtas Pesachim. What did we learn in Mesechtas Pesachim? That when it comes on Erev Pesach, you have to go and burn the chametz. But when you're burning the chametz, lo yasik boi tana b'kirayim. Don't use as an opportunity to go and heat up your oven, your furnace, etc. Tana rabban. Tana shetzika b'kli pei orla. Now we're not talking about chametz. We're talking about Orla, I bekashu kloy akerem, chodesh yutot yoshen yutzon. What is this all about? We are manufacturing a tanner. Now, for those of you that are not in the tanner manufacturing business, after you put your tanner, most of the tanurim in the good old days were made out of cheres, they were made out of earthenware, and to make it now roi, fit to be used as a furnace, they had to do one final heating up, where they did, if you will, one final rehearsal, one final performance.
Quality test.
A quality test, I guess so. That would go, and it wasn't just a test, it would actually toughen the walls, strengthen the walls of the tanner, and after this final burning inside the tanner, you know, now it is roy to be sold, and you can go or to be used, mm-hmm. And then they would put on a good housekeeping seal of approval.
The
makim patish. Good. So you have this tanner, shesika b'kli arla. If you heated it up, this final heating with klipe orla or the kasha klei akerem, the klipe orla and the kasha klei akerem has a din like the orla and the klei akerem themselves, which are awesome bahano'a. So if it's chodesh, if it's a brand new tana like we're discussing, yutot, you have to go and destroy it. Because every time you're going to use this tana now in the future, you're going to have a no'a from that orla and from that klei akerem. So yutot, you got to go and destroy the tana. However, Yoshan, if when you did the tana initially, you did a perfect job and you did not use Orlin clay chem, it's a great, great tana. Now it's already Yoshan. I'm using it already now for days, weeks, months, years. And one time I used Orla and Kloya Kerem in the tanner. That doesn't spoil the tanner. You can just wait until it cools off. Go and clear out all the Orla and Kloya Kerem and then use it again tonight, tomorrow, another day after it gets cooled off.
How can you clear it out? It's been burned up. I mean it's been absorbed the benefit or the energy from that prohibited substance has been absorbed now into the tanner. How do you?
So apparently, a tanner, once you've done that final burning at its original inception, original manufacture, it's now a finished product, and anything later does not help it, does not
improve it or change it.
Exactly. It does not energize it, doesn't improve it, doesn't change it. Kunish, it remains the same lousy tanner that I've had all these years. So now, after I cleared out and swept out all the ashes remaining from the klei akerem from the arla, then from now on I can go and use it normally. Good. Now what happens if the person was not yutzan, but rather he used arla klei akerem? This is a yoshin. This is an old tanner, and he used today arla klei akerem and offer by the pas, and he baked a bread in that arla klei akerem inside the tanner. What's it then? Rebbe Omer pas asur. You're not allowed to eat from that pas. Also, you know, if you had hanor from the orla klei akerem, you are allowed to use the pas. What's the machloikis? That Gemara doesn't go into. Berashi tells us from another Gemara, it's a machloikis whether you say yesh shvach etzim b'pas or ein shvach etzim b'pas. Shvach etzim means you get the benefit of the etzim of the wood. After all, it's an intangible benefit. If you go and touch the challah or the bread, you don't see any eights in there. So that's why the machlekes, so you say, yesh vach eitz bas, ein shvach eitz bas, a machlekes. Good. Pasmetes. Now, bishla gabi kecholim, what happens if you cooked something on top of kecholim, dibri hakol mutter. Then everybody holds mutter. Okay, v'atan yefekim av, I have a stira. Stira on this price. The price that we just said now, that yoshan yutzan, but then you have another price that says, ben chodosh ben yoshan yutzan, ben chodosh yutzan. Remember, the first price that we learned says, if it's chodosh yutot, Yoshan Yutzan. I have a second brisa that says that even by the Chodosh Yutzan.
Just let it cool off and then wait.
It's a chastira. Loikash. A Rebbe Baraban. It's the same Machlekes Rebbe Baraban. The same Rebbe that said before that when you had a Yoshan, Taner Yoshan, Ofer Bayis Pas, Pas Oser, Chom Se Pas Mutaris. Here too, if you have a brand new Taner that you heated up with the oil and Kloy HaKerem, so what's the din now? According to Rebbe, it's always going to be Oser, just like that Pas Asura. Just destroy the Taner, it's worthless, you can't use it. According to Rebbe, no. You know, if you did go and bake the pasas, what? So you made this brand new oven and you heated it up with oil and clay karam, it's good. Yutzan, you can use it in the future. Frank is so the chayav kuter. So Rabban says, "No, even the Shabbos of the Rebbe. When did Rebbe say that you cannot eat from the pas? Mishum diyesh shvach eats in the pas, like we said a moment ago, because you have the feel, not the physical feel, the but you have the benefit. Oh, benefit of the eats in the pas." However, Zevzegoyra Mishamislay. What does it mean, Zevzegoyra? Zevzegoyra means that here you're talking about a tanur, which is brand new. I haven't used it at all, even the first time. What am I going to do now? I'm going to heat it up that final time, that final heating up, the final manufacturing, the makabapatish. I'm going to go and heat it up with oil and kloyaken. Fine. After I do that, nobody's going to go and eat the tanur itself. The tanner itself, of course, is inedible. What are people going to do? They're going to use it to go and cook and bake future stews or future breads inside this tanner. So every time we're going to have a tanner like that, it's going to have a benefit from the tanner itself. It's also going to have a benefit from the new ingredients as well as the new eitzim that are going to be used. So that's a zeh v'zeh goyrim situation. So even though in the case of a person who is baking his pas, when there's real live orlin kloya kerem inside the tanur, Rabbi says a pas asura, and that I can understand. And Rashi says it's talking about that the avuka is kenegda. In other words, it's right next to it. He's having direct tanur from this orlin kloya kerem. I can understand why Rabbi says a pas asura. But over here, if you're talking about an old tanur that at one time when you manufactured with the benefit of orlin kloya kerem. Okay, you shouldn't have done it, but you did it. Now every single future pas thereafter is a product of Zev Zagoyrim. It gets a benefit, of course, from the Taner, but it also gets a benefit from the other ingredients, in other words, the new eights and the new logs.
So which are mutter.
So the Gemara is saying at this point, do you have a raya that Rebbe holds that Zev Zagoyrim is Asur? Maybe he holds Zev Zagoyrim is mutter. Zev Zagoyrim is Mishamislay. So how do you have a raya that Rebbe is the one that holds that by the Chodosh is Yutot? The Gemara Eloi Kasha. Sinishka Kasha. Her Rebblezer Rabban. Takanat Rebbe Rabban, but Rebblezer Rabban. Hi Rebblezer. Which Rebblezer are you talking about? Ile Rebblezer Disar. What's his Rebblezer Disar? Not. So or shulchum and shul truma shenoflu toich iso. You have sour sourdough chulim out of truma that fell into an iso. Iso meaning a dough batter that you had. So you have now sour of both of them inside iso, and you want to know what is the status of this batter? Does it become now a status of truma? They can only be eaten by the kahanim, or is it chulim that can be eaten by the Israel? The aim bezekin lehachmet, aim bezekin lehachmet. Each one of the sour that you put in, you needed to put in ichlais 1 pound, and you only put a half a pound of chulin and a half a pound of truma, each one on its own would be worthless. But it's tough, however, the two together, v'chimta, they made a ganza chometz, and the dough rose. Okay, so now what's the halacha? Does it have, we're not talking about Pesach now, does it have a status of chulin, does it have a status of truma? Rav Lezer Omer Acher, Achroin Aniba. I look at the last one that was put in, because the first one could not have done the leavening of the dough, because each one of them ain't pezeket elahachat elegla. So it's the makir patish, the last one that you put in.
It goes over the threshold.
Exactly. V'chom oim ben shenof isl chil ben shenof isl v'soif lo oilam einay oisur adjei boy kedei lahachat. It's got to be that there's enough chometz in each one. V'omer abay. Lo yishonu wiz machlokes shakonu basilikas isur. He took the isur out. Avalekonu basilikas isur osur. However, if you left the isur in, even if the Isser was number one and not number two, but Lamaisa, it was there the whole time and therefore it helped in being Mahmet, it's Osir. What do I see from this? I have two goyrims over here. What are the two goyrims? Goyrim number one is I have the Issa of Truma. Number two, I have the the Sa'or of Truma, and I have the Sa'or of Chulin. It's the two together. It's a Zeh v'Zeh Goyrim situation. Nevertheless, what says Reb Lazar? It's Asur. Ah, so therefore, that's the Tana that says that when you have this Tana, that is the Orlin Kashin in it, of Orlin Koyakarim, then you have to go and destroy it, because every future bread that's going to be baked inside this Tana is going to have the benefit of the Zeh v'Zeh Goyrim, and Zeh v'Zeh Goyrim is Asur.
Because it's the Achron, and it's the Achron.
But that's what Abai is saying. But even if it's not the Achron, as long as it's still inside the batter at the end.
But how does that analogize to the case of the Tanner? In the case of the Tanner, how is the Kilayakarim Orla prohibited fuels burnt? It's gone. It's not there physically
if
present.
If you didn't have a Tanner, you only had the lumber, and you made a fire, would you be able to go and bake the bread?
Yes.
No. You can fry a bread, you can go and bake. Cook it, you can bake it.
Because the structure.
The structure.
So you're saying so that Isser now transfers into the Tanur perpetually.
Try to go and bake your breads without a Tanur.
According to this, in analogizing it to the case of the Sa'or of Hulin and Truma, the Isser of the Kalat Kerem and the Orla, once it's used to manufacture, it's present perpetually in that Tanner now. Is that what we're saying?
That's right. This.
So why does it matter if it was the final or previous? Even if it was, why are we saying that it has to be the final fueling of the Tanner?
Because that created the Tanner. Any subsequent heating up of the Tanner was limal of lemoir.
It's a finished product. Okay.
It's a finished product. It doesn't improve it. It doesn't take away. It doesn't add to it. Good. Anyway, so what do I say? Alma zeh v'zeh goyrim is also. So that's the man the alma that holds that the Tanner is utots that you have to destroy, because all future products from this Tanner are all going to be awesome. In fact, the time that Blazer came by, you're saying because Abai is sitting at the top. Yes, but if Leikon says Isser, it's always awesome because he had the contributions of both the Truma and the Chulin together, and therefore that makes it into Truma. Who says that Blazer also came by? Film the time that Blazer mentioned the Acher Acheriba.
He doesn't say a word about that.
Right, it's Abai that added on that addendum. But for instance, what happens if you throw both together at one time? Maybe it would be mutter. So you see that it has to be because it's the final say, that's the final stempel. But if it would be put in simultaneously, maybe it would be mutter. So they don't have a raya that zeh v'zeh goyrim is asur. And that's what our Gemara is telling us, is that you wanted to try to find them on the yom that zeh v'zeh goyrim is asur. So far I have not found one. Mitzvah tomorrow we're going to see, maybe it's Reb Lezer Datsi Asheira, to be continued tomorrow. Now, Friday, collecting in Chanukah. Any questions, Rabbi? David.